If you find this podcast, this is for you. Our lives are written in ink. There are no backspaces, cancels, or delete buttons. But beauty and redemption emerge when we embrace our ink-stained imperfections and share them with one another. This is how we find our strength. This is how we renew our resolve. This is how we overcome. You're listening to the Inkfully Podcast, and I'm your host, Tanya Woods. Okay, you guys, what up? Welcome back to the Inkfully Podcast. As always, thank you for joining me today. On today's show, guess who's back, y'all?
It's me.
What up, babe? My husband is back on the show today, and I'm excited to have him. It's been a little minute since you've come and sat with me and joined me on the show. And I don't know, at first I was starting to think y'all liked him more than he liked me.
Well, have that effect.
All right, and we're done here. Yeah, no, our early two episodes, Marriage is a Trap and Surviving a Sexless Marriage, had my husband featured on there, and you guys just love those two shows. So I thought I would come bring him back on today to talk about something that is really, really important to me. He kind of is the guy that helps me process through my emotions and all the things in life. He's my go-to best friend. You are my best friend.
Thanks, man.
And PDA. Aw. And so I just was like, I want to have you on here with me to really help me process through something that's super important in my journey. And that is this concept of identity. Right? And how it relates to being a wife, being a mother, and specifically for me and my own narrative, it's a huge part being a stay-at-home mother for so many years. I've been home with my kids from the very beginning of our marriage, right? I've been married for coming up on 10 years next year. We just celebrated 9, but I'm just going ahead and call 10 from now. What? What? I always do that, though. I'm like, we've been out here 10 years. He's like, ma'am, it's been 9. Anyway, so yeah, I wanted to bring you on, babe, and just talk about that a little bit, because I feel like not only has it been something that I've struggled with, but as I talk with other women, whether it's just conversations on Instagram or friendships, it sounds like it's a conversation that a lot of women are wrestling through and struggling with right now. And I hope that in us kind of navigating this, it will somehow help you, or you'll just get a little bit more insight into what it's like over here in my world. So either one of those two things. All right, so let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Where should we start?
Where should you start? So what's kind of the, I don't know, the baseline of identity for you? Like, if you had to define identity, like, what does it mean to you in general?
Identity as a whole? Identity is just who you are, essentially, who you are, like what purpose you're on this earth to serve. You know what I mean? Why you show up every day. You know, to me, that's your identity. And, you know, as believers, we ultimately believe, right, that we're rooted in the belief that our identity is solid in Christ. Right. Okay. You know what I mean? But I feel like outside of that, and there's no but, it's an and. Oh, as well as that, there are some real, like, deep-seated issues that come up just from the everyday things of life, mm-hmm. that kind of will have you in this reckoning or this wrestling place as as I have gone through different, you know, stages of our marriage or just life in general. I don't know. I would say, like, when, you know, before we got married, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when you met me, I was pretty, like, career-driven. I was getting ready to... Remember, I was about to leave for California. It's the funniest story, y'all. I was about to leave to take this job with Johnson & Johnson in California. And at this time, I had just told Aaron. I was like, babe, like, you know, actually wasn't even babe at that time. We had taken this break from our dating relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what did I say?
You were like, well, because I can't say completely yes, I have to say no right now, because I was like trying to wife you up, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're like, it's a little bit too early. I have other things I want to do. I have my dreams that I want to accomplish. But ultimately, I think that you said you were just like, you couldn't commit 100% yes. So you're like, I have to say no. And like, you're like, maybe like 5 years from now, right, after I go to California and do this thing and that thing. And then you kicked me out of your apartment and now we're married.
Yeah. That worked out. So yeah, so I had this, like, back at that time I was 21, 22 years old, fresh out of college, really ready to like do this whole corporate ladder climbing thing, as well as like a handful of my friends were all out in these streets trying to get our best life, right? And so, you know, he was like, I want to marry you, girl. And I'm like, ooh, like like, I'm not ready, sir. But so I go out and I interview for this job. Me and the people, like company, whatever, we handshake. We have a handshake agreement. I get back home. I'm starting to like pack up my bags, and like a couple weeks in, and at this time, Aaron's having his own like wrestling going on, right? Where he's like, man, my wife's about to move across the country. Like, she don't know, she doesn't know, but she's my wife and she's about to move across the country. Right, babe?
Yeah.
And so, but I'm on the other side, like packing my bags, getting ready to go. I even literally have a album on Facebook that's called The West Coast, like Life on the West Coast, The Beginnings, which is hilarious because we got back there eventually.
Right.
But anyway, long story short, this job falls through. And little do I know, Aaron and his mama are like praying to the gods, praying to God.
The gods.
I know, I'm just saying, it's a, you know, a turn of phrase. Right. But praying to God that like I didn't get this job.
Right.
It's hilarious, right? But it's all good. It worked out, right? Because we are here and we're together. And after that, that was probably my first moment of like, okay, this didn't happen how you wanted. Now what's next? Like, maybe you're not sure about, maybe not, you know, maybe you're not 100% sure about what God's plans for your future, period, right? And God still will work things out for you while you have your mind made up in a certain direction, you know? So that gave us time to like reconnect and recalibrate our relationship, and the rest is essentially history. So I bring that story up to say that, why did I bring that story up?
Well, because your identity track may have been a little bit different then.
Okay. So that was the first of me realizing like, okay, maybe my identity isn't as like straightforward, like you can control everything, as I thought. And so when we finally started dating and then got engaged, I ended up getting a job, getting a job in the Miami area where I was, where I'm from. And that was great. It went well for a while. And I remember once we got married, we were long distance, actually, our entire dating relationship. So, I don't know if you remember that, babe, but it's like, you know, it was a really hard season for us, because it's like we hadn't even, by the time we got to our honeymoon, we hadn't even been together longer than a weekend or longer than 3 or 4 days before our honeymoon. So it was like, I was ready to like be with you for life. I was like, so he got an offer, or not job, but like to go to school and to first pursue his master's in Texas. And I was like, boy, I'll follow you to the end of the earth at this point. Like, I just want to be with you. We're married now and we're still not together. And so I left my job like not even thinking, you know what I mean? It was like rose colored glasses. I was like, I'm leaving my job. I don't care. I'll find something when I get there to Texas with you. I don't care. I just want to be with you, you know, deer in the headlights. I mean, not deer in the headlights. What was I trying to say? Head in the clouds kind of thing, you know, like, girl, you're going to leave your full time good paying job. But you know, what are you going to do? We wanted to be in the same city, in the same place, right? So we get there, and what happens, babe?
Little oopsies after a couple months of marital bliss.
Yes, like 2 months into our marriage, I get pregnant with I got pregnant with Elijah like 2 months in, and you know, this, I hadn't even had time to, or 4 months into our marriage, but 2 months into us being in Austin together, I didn't even have time to like find the job or any, you know, I was looking, but like, whoops, you know what I mean? And so, not that pregnancy has to stop you, but for me, it was like another, you know, something else I had to, hindrance that I had to get through, not to mention I'm like growing. So I'm like, how am I going to be interviewing for corporate jobs? Like, as like, while my belly is like getting significantly larger, you know, the elephant in the room. And so I don't know, it was like Elijah came, and I think I just settled into like just being home with him, you know, and enjoying him. I didn't really think of any of it yet until probably like when he was like, I remember distinctly actually him being around 18 months old and, you know, I'd really at that point settled into our routine. Okay. I'm here with my baby. We got our good thing going. You at this point started working for like, you know, out of college, still in the area, and you were traveling for work a lot.
Right.
And that just left me a lot of time to start thinking about like, whoa, okay.
How did I get here? Sort of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, how did I get here? Like, okay, this was good while it lasted, but what's next? You know, what's next for me personally? Like, I see you out here thriving, you know, living your best traveling life, even though it was, you know, it wasn't easy all the time, but like, what about me? Like, what about my needs?
A little bit more about that. Like, what were you experiencing on those times when I was on the trips and stuff? Like, was there like some moment where it just like hit you, like a defining moment of where it hit you is like, wait, I don't know if this was what I wanted, or was it what you wanted and you were just bored, or like, what was the, what was going through your mind?
For me personally, like going into the journey of staying home with my son, like with Elijah, was not planned. You know what I mean? Although now that I look back, having done it so long, I see how much of a blessing that was that we were even able to figure that out being so young and not having a lot of money, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like back then, it, I remember a defining moment where I got out my journal and I was like writing, and I was just like, okay, but what do you want out of life? Like, what are you going to do now? Like, do you want to go back to your corporate like marketing career? You know, at the time I started exploring more like the design world. Maybe I could be like freelance, felt really called to graphic design. So freelance graphic design, mm-hmm. maybe I can do that and still be home with my son. You know, I just didn't know. And I got really scared. Like, And I also was hyper aware of like, okay, the time is ticking, and I felt like my marketability was like reducing in, you know, my ability to be able to get back out there. Like, girl, if you don't get back out there soon, nobody's going to want you. You know what I mean?
They're going to see gaps in your experience and things like that.
Yeah. And that really like started to trip me out. Like, what's the plan? What's the plan? You know? And then at that time I did come up with a plan, and it was go back to school for graphic design, whether like a bachelor's or a certificate or something. And I signed up for school, and then we got relocated to Seattle.
Right. For another job. Yeah.
Yeah. For another job for you. But so here's what started to happen there, like a pattern started happening, right? Even though we were both in agreement for everything, like, hey, like, yeah, move out to Austin. Boom. It's going to be, we can be together. That was because you were getting your master's. And then Seattle was like, oh, we're moving to Seattle. Why are we moving to Seattle? Oh, it was obviously to better our family. Obviously we needed a job, but also it was a move that was directly on the front end tied to you, right? You got a job in Seattle. And so slowly, like, my narrative started to form around you, you know, whereas like just 2.5 years ago, my world, you know, as a single woman was about me, you know? And, so now, but I didn't, again, these are things that are happening underneath the belly of our marriage, essentially, but I wasn't even making note of that yet. It wasn't until it became like
happening and building sort of.
So here I am home in Seattle. It's like a new city. It's gloomy. It's dark literally every day. I'm like, when's the sun going to come out? No, it's not coming out again and again. Like, and I got super depressed, you know, and, like at that time we were in that apartment with like barely any windows. You were leaving at like 6 a.m. like crazy early in the morning for work. And then, coming home really late. Remember picking you up from like the commuter station at like 6, 7, 8 p.m. Yeah. You know? And it was just a crazy time for both of us, man. It was really rough. And our son Elijah had gotten diagnosed with autism. And I wasn't connecting with him. Like a lot of things were starting to get triggered to like start this breakdown of identity all at the same time. Cause I literally felt like I'm failing at everything. Like I can't find a job. At this time I was still trying to find a job. I couldn't find a job no matter how hard I tried. Now it was off the mark. Now I had this 3-year gap and my confidence started to dwindle away. Like, and my ability to see myself, like when I'm reading the job requirements, I'm like, I can't even see myself in these like words. Like I don't have this experience. All the things that we say in our head to like
disqualifying. Yeah.
Started to happen. And like this confident girl that was like, go after it, go, you know, go interview with Google, go interview with Johnson, like whatever it is, like started to like dwindle away, you know? And so my identity was really being like picked into pieces. And I think that was God authorized, because maybe I was putting too much of my, you know, whatever identity into things that can't fulfill or secure you, period, anyway, you know, accolades or whatever. But
But in another regard, it was like you said, I can see it from the other perspective of like this budding flower, this beautiful flower is like slowly like fading away and petals are like falling off over the years that without noticing. And then all of a sudden it's like, it's your, that part of you is like drying up, and then you're coming, you have these realizations, but yet it seems like you felt like maybe powerless to like change the situation. Is that true? Or like,
yeah, I just kind of felt trapped, you know, especially after Elijah's, diagnosis. I just felt like, okay, I can't do this mothering thing. Before I knew he had autism, I was like, I can't do this mothering thing, right? Like nothing I do works. I can't get through to him. You know what I mean? So the one thing that I'm supposed to be here to do, like raise my kids and do all these Pinterest crafts and whatever else people at home do, you know, quote unquote, because we all know that's not the real stuff.
You felt like you're being ineffective in the new role that you have.
Yeah, like
this
one
new identity.
Yeah. And it's a hard identity to hold, specifically being a stay-at-home mom. It's like usually most people, and I think that at home, probably have this internal struggle where you feel like you have to fill the space of what you do with a and or but afterwards. Like whenever I say to another mom, like, oh, so are you home now? Are you at home? Are you, you know, as a segue, there's this whole like working mom thing. We're all working moms, period. But let's not even go there right now. The point is that like, you know, when you're at home, there's like a tendency to feel like you have to like kind of like nest your identity in something else that you're doing too, you know? And I think it's because it's such a, I don't know, it's a humbling role to have, you know?
Yeah.
And so
It's unseen, all your stuff is behind the scenes.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard work. It's, you know, I don't want to go on that soapbox. I will save that for another day, like for real. But
that's part of the identity portion though, right? Because
I mean,
you know, when you look at, you know, your jobs, like your regular day job out in corporate America, you know, you're being recognized typically for your work, you know, you have raises, you have, performance reviews, you know, you have these different things that give you some sort of baseline or benchmark on like, how am I actually doing at this job? And then you know, you can climb up, you can change your job if you want to, you know, you have all these options. So yeah, I think it does have something to do with
you're that. You're right. So I will speak to that. I mean, you're exactly right. Like, you know, being home with my kids has been so humbling for me, because like the immediacy of the reward is not there. Like I'm not, there's no paycheck at the end of the 2-week period. There's, you know, when they're little, they're not even really saying thank you much, you know, it just feels like you're constantly putting, I felt like I was constantly putting myself last and everyone else's needs first, you know, outside of myself, you know, including yours, including, you know, but obviously mainly the children, cause they're dependents, you know, and it was like, all of a sudden I became the help. Like all of a sudden I went from being my own person to like, and now I'm like, living in PJs, most days I'm not even brushing my teeth before noon, if at all. You know, you come home from work and I'm still wearing the same, I'm still a frazzled mess that I was when you left. Like, what's going on right now? And, you know, like when you're like scrubbing toilet after toilet, cleaning up poop, cleaning up vomit, like that is what you do every single day, you know, and there are amazing, beautiful parts about it. Like, you know, getting to like have this like forming foundational part with your children. But I'm just highlighting these. So I don't want to like over highlight the negatives, because there are some beautiful things about staying home. But for the purpose of this conversation, those things really will shake and rock your identity. Like if you thought you were somebody, it will strip away. Like it strips away everything that you thought you were or are, you know, into like, now who am I? Like, what am I? Is this what I'm here to do? Like just literally white butts and white tears. Like, you know what I mean? And like, and then I had, and then constantly seeing you, and this is what has started to like would stir this little monster in me. It's like, not only am I home dealing with this, but then I'm coming home and you're like, you know, hey,
bring in my news, my good news reports or whatever. Of like, yeah, this is what happened today.
I met with this person. Yeah. I went to this meeting. You'll never guess who I met. Yeah. You know, I never guess who I had lunch with. Oh, I'm traveling here to meet such and such
to this conference or whatever. And yeah. These are the results. And look at all these great things I learned. Yeah, I could see how you know? Would like bury you. It would be very difficult if I was in your shoes to be genuinely like happy, excited, and not be able to not have that feeling of like, you know, that's great, but yeah.
What about me?
Like I've been doing XYZ all day.
Yeah.
Like cleaning up poop.
Right. Like for real. But, you know what I mean? So it's so slowly I started to feel, but I was genuinely, this is the thing. I'm genuinely happy for you. Right. Mm-hmm. But, it was like this slow, silent death in me. That's like, but what about me? Like the little girl in me that's like, you know, is like, but what about me? Like, it's like a whisper. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was like a whisper. Hey, what about me though? Like, you know what I mean? Where, and again, that security, like, man, I'm not good enough for that. Like just little seeds started being planted about my worthiness or my enoughness, you know?
Right. And then me as a young husband at that time, I think that I also wasn't aware of this, like, slow death that was happening.
I was barely aware. This is all in hindsight.
Right.
But,
that's the thing. It's like, so it's not like I'm just coming through with my eyes all over, you know, all glazed over of my great experiences that I'm having. Hey, look at this building that I've been designing, or, you know, like you said, this place that I'm going next and these people that I'm getting to meet, and not realizing that, oh, wait, I probably should take a step back and just ask about your day. Like, how are things today? Like, you know, I hadn't grown yet in that part of, I'm still growing in that part of our marriage, but like, that's so important. Mm-hmm. When I notice when I do take those, you know, steps back and really probe into like, what has your experience been like today? Do you know, what do you need right now, you know, to feel like you're living a good life and that life isn't just living you, but that you're enjoying life, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that probably compounded the interest, you know, at that time.
So exactly. So I want to fast forward to now, right? So that was going on. More babies came, you know, and around this time, like, I would say like 3 or 4 years in, this is actually when like the heart for like Inkfully even started to take shape. So now I had something where I felt like, you know, I felt called to, like, I felt like to speak to women about them, their worthiness and, you know, their, this is like 2013, I believe. And, you know, that they're enough and you're not alone in this message. Like, I would stay up till like 3 a.m. just writing and thinking about this space and having this, I don't know, women sisterhood that's just like, hey, you're not alone, sis. Like, you know. And so I was really passionate about that. And I started to like really want to awaken that desire and passion in me and let it become something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as the years progressed, 2013, 2014, 15, 16, we're all the way in 2019. To this day, I feel like for the number of years that have been there, it has been a real struggle because I feel like my desires and my dreams have been somewhat like unseen and overshadowed. And I feel like that's the thing that happened with my own journey of identity is like, man, like I feel so trapped. Like I'm trying to do this motherhood thing, right? I have this blog and Instagram platform that I'm trying to build and this podcast that I'm doing, and they're all really important to me, but my kids are really important to me and my marriage is really important to me. And I felt like I was constantly having to like put down what was in my heart, like to like that gave me life that I wanted to actually do for the sake of someone else's needs constantly, you know? Mm-hmm. And not just in that space, just in literally, it felt like every space, you know, my self-care space, you know, everything just started to like take a back seat. Like, you know, no, I wasn't getting my hair done. It was always a mess. Like my nails, what? Like, you know what I mean? The self-care portion, all of it was just, it had taken a back seat.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't know how to get back to that place where I knew, like, I couldn't even find me. It's like, where am I? You know, where am I? I remember walking past the mirror after child number like 2 or 3. And not even being able to recognize myself. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm walking by the mirror and I'm probably like 50 pounds heavier, you know, and not, it's not just the weight. It's just like the look in my eye, like everything, like how I decided to come out the house. Like,
yeah, the sparkle had faded like that. The sparkle's
faded, and literally like I'm, you know, in Nordstrom, like pushing the stroller, and just like, I remember stopping and pausing in the mirror. Like, how did you get here? Like, who am I, you know, and really wrestling with, you know, where is that girl in me? Where did she go? You know? You know, and then there was like being far away from family and friends and the friendships that I did have at this point. I'm 5, 6, 7 years removed, and it felt like they were gone as well, you know, for that season. And so there was a lot of identity crisis things happening. Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested to know, like, looking back, like, do you think, what would you have done differently now, like with the knowledge that you have and having gone through that? Like, if you're looking at yourself back in that Nordstrom day of passing a mirror, like, what would you say to that?
Honestly, I don't,
that version of you, that Tanya.
I don't know what I would say, but I don't know if I could have done anything differently, because you literally only know, you don't even know what's happening to you. You know, when this happens, you really don't. But I would say what I would have done differently is just what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
You know? And so, and yeah, we can, what I'm doing right now is this, essentially this self-discovery, this self-exploration, you know? I don't know, like everything pretty much just came to a head at some point, right? Like, it went from like the little girl in me was like, oh, but what about me? To like, but what about me? Hey, what about me though? Like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, and you know, she started to kind of like get her voice of like, ah, like this has been a lot of, like, 1 year, another year is passing. Like, the years are going by. I think once I hit 30, it was like, yo, like we need to find our voice and say something in our marriage, you know?
Yeah. No, that's good. I actually read recently in a book, it said, if you project out, 5 to 10 years and all you can see is like a devastating ending or whatever, like just complete unhappiness.
Yeah.
Then you need to evaluate the cost of inaction, you know, because so many people, so many people, when they look at taking an action, they think about, but if I do this and what if it doesn't work out and all these sorts of things, and they basically convince themselves not to take an action, but yet they know inside, like, if I don't take action, I probably will be unhappy, but they don't evaluate that unhappiness the same way that they evaluate, like, strangely, like, you know, the something actually not turning out right that they want to do. And so, like, sometimes you have to focus more on, like, if I don't pivot, if I don't do something, you know, like they say,
well, I didn't have a choice. Like, I was literally drowning. Like, I literally, it wasn't even like, oh, this, you know, this feel good Instagram post that was like, oh, take action in your life. Like, I literally was like, if you don't do something, you're going to die. Like, I'm either going to stay in this marriage and not survive it because I'm that depleted. I'm that depressed. I'm that anxious. I'm that, like, removed from my own self and my own desires. I was scared. Like, my, like, I'm 30 now. Like, and I don't know what, like, I love my kids. I love my family. But if I don't start figuring out what I want out of life, I will not survive. That's how literally, I'm not saying that metaphorically.
No,
either I'm leaving this marriage and I'm like running away or like, you know, the hardest thing to say, like I was feeling suicidal. Like, it wasn't a matter of like, you know, take action or inaction. It was like, say, the girl in me was like, say something because I can't breathe, because I'm drowning, because I'm trapped, you know, and I have to get out. Like, I remember, like, then I just started writing, like writing out these emotions, trying to find my word, trying to find words for where I was. And it literally came like in a flood. Like, I felt like, you know, some of the words that I found were like, I felt like I was a caged bird, but the cage was open, which was the worst kind of trap, because it's like no one's keeping me bound. Fortunately, I'm not in a controlling marriage. Like, my husband's not like, you know, how dare you, can't do anything. It's just like, I felt caged. And when I say the words caged, it's because even if you left the doors open wide, I had been there so long that I'm too scared to fly at this point. You know, like I'm too scared to fly on my own. I had to believe that I was capable of flying again. You know, so it was more than just like, hey, the door's open, do what you want. That added so much anxiety and pressure to me because my confidence had wavered and suffered so much that I had to remind myself that I was able to fly, you know, and let go of the fear of what is on the other side of flying. Like, hey, will I remember how, you know? And so a lot of my identity came from resurrecting this confidence in myself and my ability to know that I'm enough. I had to figure out for me, what do I want? And yet I still had to meet the demands of my family. I had to figure out like, hey, what you desire can be put on the pedestal, can come before all these other needs calling your name. It has to, or you will have nothing left to give them, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't. Like, it was affecting the way that I treated you. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like a shell of myself. I didn't want anything to, you know, do with our marriage. You know what I mean? Like, I was not, you know, struggling with my love and my desire to love and parent my kids. Like, I just was like barely, you know what I mean? I love them, but I just felt like I had nothing in the tank left to give them, you know? And it's like, yeah, it was just a lot of that wrestling and writing and, you know, really trying to put words to this idea of like, hey, I need to do some self-discovery. Self-discovery is asking like, who am I? Like, what do I want out of life? You know, where is my voice? Where is my role in this marriage? Like outside of Aaron, like before I was Tanya Woods, like I was just Tanya, you know, like I wasn't somebody's wife or somebody's mom, you know? And it was like outside of these two roles that have defined me for the almost the last decade, you know, who else am I? What else do I do?
Right.
Where are my friends? Where are the things that I can say? I remember speaking in groups with people and my comfort zone was to very quickly start talking about you.
Right.
You know, and even to this day, I got to check myself on that. You know, I was so used to like literally like got comfortable with that label of like, hey, I'm a wife and a mom, like, and just talking about my kids. But it was like, after that, then what? Like, then what do you talk about when you're done? Oh, now I have to talk about my husband. Really? Like, you know, and I just got so comfortable with like, yeah, this is what Aaron does. This is what he's doing amazing. He's amazing this, amazing that. I spent so much time like talking about you. It was like, what do you think about yourself?
Right.
If everything that comes out of my mouth was like giving you amazing props for all the things, all the success you have had.
Yeah. Yeah. That was almost like the more like a comfortable conversation to have probably too. Like, oh, I mean, it's like you just defaulted to that, but that wasn't like really.
Cause what am I going to say about myself? Like, it just felt like awkward to talk about myself. Cause I felt like there's nothing going on in my life about myself. And even when I would talk about Inkfully, it wouldn't be with confidence. You know, even now I struggle. People have to show me like, do you realize all you're like doing and putting into the world? I don't, because I'm usually in my head face down with my kids. I do one thing and then I go back to my, you know, life. And so I had to go back and backtrack and be like, this is who you are. This is how you show up in the world. You're worthy of being here. You are enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? God's equipped me for more, you know, and it's okay. It's okay to want more. It's okay to be a wife and a mother, but also have other passions and interests and desires, you know? And I think that there's like a lot of guilt that's associated with motherhood. Yeah. Like, it's like, like I can't be doing these things. Like, you know, my kids come first, my kids. And like your kids are best served when you are loving yourself well. And I think in the Christian faith, we sometimes think that that's like counterintuitive or, you know, incorrect, you know, like, oh, you know, self-love or love yourself first sounds so like, you know, worldly, but it's not, you know, God said like, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right.
If you don't know how to love yourself, how are you gonna love your neighbor?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Like, and that's how I felt. Like, I remember reading that, like, how am I supposed to love my family when I don't even love myself?
Mm-hmm. No, that's good, babe.
You know?
Yeah.
So, wow. I don't know. It got really real for me. And I remember, so here's the thing. Here's when the, like, this pinnacle moment happened for me. It's when we went to LA. Mm-hmm. Remember when we went to LA for, what was it?
It was for our anniversary.
Yeah, our 8-year anniversary. Our first time, like, since our honeymoon. mm-hmm. going somewhere by ourselves. And what happened on that trip? It was an amazing trip. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a really good time. And I don't know, how was it for you, like, for seeing me? Like, what were some of the things that you noticed?
Well, again, like, that was the first time we ever got to travel, just the two of us, to some place outside of whatever state we were living in overnight in 8 years. So,
yeah, so, craziness. I mean, you know, shows you about marriage and parenting, y'all.
Yeah, and it doesn't have, that's not everybody's story. Yeah, but, it's true. But so I don't want to necessarily wrap it up in marriage.
Yeah, that's
and
true. That's true.
It's just in our story because, yeah. you know, we have. Again, we had a son with special needs.
Yeah.
We didn't live anywhere near family, all those sorts of things. So all those factors in mind led to us not being able to get away for a long time. And so when we did, I did see like this, I guess, the old Tanya come back, if you will. It's mm-hmm. like, whoa, like, where'd she, who is this? Like, you know,
yeah.
like, this is the girl that I fell in love with. You know, just that sparkle, as you would explain, in your eye was back.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much exactly how I felt, was that, you know, I reconnected with myself. I actually wrote something in my journal. Where is my journal? Okay. And I want to read it because it, like, actually, I literally came back from my trip and I had this wrestling. It was my first time kind of in this way. So I'm going to read it really quick. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
And I don't know if I've ever read this to you before. So anyway, okay. I went to LA 2 months ago. And I felt like I reconnected with self. I found the girl in me that had left home a long time ago. I felt energized, liberated, sexy, beautiful, confident. I could breathe. I could dream. I could see. I could smell. I could feel it in my bones, this resurrection, this rebirth. And I started to fall in love with myself again. And then I returned home. The cloak of motherhood quickly began to smother me. Anxiety returned like a noose around my neck. The constant demands, meeting of everyone else's needs, exempt my own. And she began to disappear. I fought for her, trying to rise earlier than my children, to primp face and prep heart for the soon succumbs of the day. But I fell behind. The need for sleep overpowered my will for self-care. And eventually, my desire. The mirror returned to the old image I had hoped I would never confront again, yet feared and perhaps knew I eventually would. Worn down, beat down, belly hanging, braless, blurry-eyed, emotionless. She left. I stood there in the mirror, grieving her loss. Why? Why did you return to me only to tease me and yet leave me again in haste? I wanted to cling to her, to hold on to any fragment of her reality, of her actually existing. So I'd buy things that reminded me of her, cut packages, open boxes, slip into the identity I was parched for, only to be quenched even just for a little while. Just to see her again. So I'd stand there in a mirror behind a locked door with the littles calling their demands on the outside, but I'd hear none of that, because for a moment in that new dress, we meet again. We dance and we smile and we laugh. There you are. I missed you. Please don't go. But inevitably she does. She leaves me. She always does. Please stay, just this once, stay. The door knocks. They're pounding now. There are unending needs to be met. I catch a glimpse of the laundry pile 2 weeks high behind me. I hear the sounds of running water and toddlers crying. So we say our goodbyes. I slip out of that dress. It hits the floor like crumbled rags. And I return again to the life I now know, yet have grown to despise. I want to run away with her.
Wow.
I know that was a little deep, but...
No, I was just sitting back and taking that in, and it was like... It really gave me perspective on some things, different other behaviors, like the ones that you're listing, that I also saw over the years. And, you know, it gives perspective on what you were reaching for in your soul through those things. And mm-hmm. it's really well written. I mean, you have such a great ability to document exactly how you're feeling about things, which is a true gift. You know, not everyone can do that with words. So, it was eye-opening, beautiful as in its own way, but also like eye-opening. And I hope that, you know, listeners can understand if they're feeling that way, that like your words give life, because it's like, okay, this is maybe why I'm going through this. This is maybe why I'm tending to these things. Like, some people may not even understand like what's going on inside of them in that way, you know?
Yeah. I think for me, like, even you alluded to this, but even like, you know, the Amazon purchases or the online shopping and at 3 a.m., you know, sometimes you just wanted something to like find my identity in, you know, and it's like, babe, like, why are you out here spending money? Like we letting it, you know, making it rain. And it felt probably somewhat disrespectful to you as the primary breadwinner, you know, and we'd have these arguments like, you know, and I'm like, at that time, I'm literally just like, I couldn't breathe. And I was just trying to grip onto anything that could help me feel like somebody, you know, to feel like something other than a wife and a mother. And again, these like formative labels and what it comes with. So it was this wrestling of like, I went away and I got to see a glimmer of myself again, which was amazing. But then the demands of motherhood came back. And how do I find that girl here? How do I don't want to not be a wife and a mother anymore. I don't really want to run away. But like, how do I find that girl, you know, on a consistent basis? And how do I show up for her every day in some little way, you know, and give her a voice, give her a space? And I think that's the journey that I'm trying to describe in identity. And we're going to wrap because hubby's got to go. You got to go to work. I pulled him over to the side this morning to just chat a little bit, but I'm going to have another part episode to this. So it'll be a two-part episode talking with you guys, you know, just me and you about like what I did after that, you know? So here I am in LA. I had this awakening. I felt like my young, youthful, she cute. Okay, boo. And you can see it all on my Instagram and my story saved. Of course I saved it there. Cause I was like, okay, you cute. Okay. You know, but after that, you know, it was really hard. Cause I'm like, whoa, I done woke somebody up in me and she mad now, you know, like I was mad that like, no, I don't want to just go back to like feeling like crumpled rags every day, being depressed, not brushing my teeth, not knowing who I am. Like I wanted to figure out how to get back to that girl. And so that's what I'm going to share in the second part of this episode. So I hope you stay tuned and love you guys. Love you, babe.
Love you too.
Thank you. You're have welcome. A safe drive to work.
Thank you.
Be safe. I love you. And
in this Atlanta traffic.
In this Atlanta traffic. Listen, y'all can move to Atlanta, but get ready because
get ready for this traffic, y'all.
That's the reason why I am glad to stay home. Good luck. All right. Peace out, y'all. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Inkfully Podcast. Shout out to Bay again for coming on the show. Hey, stay with me. There's going to be a part two, and it's going to be really good. I'm going to be talking to you guys about how I decided to kind of act on this self-discovery and identity journey I've been on. I'm going to share with you the solocation I recently took to Miami and what my takeaways were and what are some insights that you can take away if you're thinking about taking a trip by yourself for yourself. Girl, yes, do it. So we're going to talk about all the things in the next episode. Definitely stay tuned. Thank you for continuing to listen. Thank you for continuing to support me in this podcast journey. Sharing is caring, y'all. So if this episode resonated or another show resonated, do me a favor and do your friend a favor and share it with them. Thank you so much. And we will talk very, very soon. And as I always say, live well, love well, and ink fully. Peace.